Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you, taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. A little bit later on this evening, it's Cleveland Indians baseball. The Tribe back on the road for the first time in a week. They are in the south side of Chicago tonight, taking on the Chicago White Sox. And here to talk Tribe with us, as he does every week, is Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Rosie's appearances on the show weekly are brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, how are things in the Windy City?
Oh, things are good, Bull. Things are good so far.
Well, and things were great at the end of this most recent homestand. I mean, really a remarkable finish to a very successful seven-day stay at home. And, you know, Rosie, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it was the last conversation we had, or it was definitely one of the last two, where you had mentioned that speaking with those in Minnesota, they kind of felt like maybe if a couple of things happened, the Twins might be able to get back into the thick of things in the divisional race. But, boy, I don't know that Minnesota can respond after getting a couple of big-time gut punches delivered over the last 2 days of that series, not only losing 3 out of 4 against the Tribe, but also losing in the way that they lost.
Yeah, and you know, Bull, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's deeper than that for them. They traded away their two best position players. They traded away one of their better starting pitchers, and then late last night they traded their closer in addition to some others. So, look, they were not going to catch the Indians regardless, but I think more so how it impacts Minnesota is just the Indians' ability to win a couple of games late. They really haven't done that often this season. That was only their third and fourth walk-offs of the season, so it just hasn't come around that often, and they haven't been able to do it all that often at home this year. So the opportunity to win a couple of games late like they did, I think bodes well for the Indians, much more so than how it impacts the Twins. The Twins were not going to catch the Indians anyway.
Sure, no question about that. And, of course, if you take a look at the standings now, an 11-game lead going into tonight's action, I don't think anybody realistically expected the Twins to catch the Tribe. But, you know, it's always out there. If you're a fan of a certain team, you always are looking for that glimmer of hope. And it certainly seemed to me like that glimmer of hope was blown away, no doubt about that. Is there still a little bit of chippiness between these two teams? I mean, you saw it there a little bit towards the end of the series, and I know this was something that was definitely at play last year. I know the Twins kind of took exception to one of Jose Ramirez's bat flips, and I know there was some pointing going on between Frankie Lindor and that Minnesota Twins dugout. Is it still a little bit heated between those two teams?
You know, it's interesting because I know a lot of people jumped on that, especially the Lindor pointing into their dugout, but I got to be honest with you. I think it's more he's friendly with a couple of players over there who are from Puerto Rico as well. Eddie Rosario being one, Jose Berríos being another. And I think it was more just Frankie playing a little bit. I don't know that there was any malicious intent there. Now the Twins might have taken it in a certain way that they weren't real happy with, but I think from Frankie's perspective, he's just playing with guys that he's known for years and is pretty close to off the field. So I don't know that there was any malicious intent. Now the Twins may have taken it that way, but I don't think so though. And who knows? We might find out more when they come back at the end of August. But I think at least at that particular time, it was just Francisco Lindor poking a little fun and maybe rubbing it in a little bit to people that he knows really well in the game and competes hard against.
Well, and who could blame him for rubbing it in just a little bit? I mean, boy, what a series he had. And I mean, he is just on a different level right now. And he is just so fun to watch on a day-to-day basis. And I know we bring this up time and time again, but, you know, as Indians fans, we are definitely spoiled having the opportunity to watch a guy like this. And, you know, Rosie, it's fascinating. At the top of the order, you know, when Frankie Lindor gets up, he's got 3 or 4 guys batting behind him who are having very nice seasons. When you look at his total body of work this year, you get the impression that this has been his finest, or at least one of his finest seasons to date?
I'm going to say his finest, Bull. I think that's fair to say. No question. He has been absolutely tremendous in every phase of the game. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, you know, that I think different baseball people have different theories on who's clutch and can a player be clutch. And there's a lot of people who say, no, that's not true. There is no clutch. No matter what, how you work numbers, the theory that like Derek Jeter was somehow better in late game situations with the game on the line, maybe in the postseason, than he was early in the game, that type of thing, that they say it just doesn't bear out. But I'll argue with that because I think Francisco Lindor is different late in the game. And even Mike Clevenger mentioned it after Wednesday night's game when Frankie hit the home run to win it, that it's like karma. He just seems to come up when the game is on the line. You know, how does that work? And then he delivers so often. And, you know, maybe it's not true. I mean, the night before he struck out with the game on the line to end the game. So, but don't tell him that. I mean, he loves the situation. He was saying yesterday that it's just something that he enjoys so much to get that opportunity to win a ball game. He loves being that player and looks forward to it. And I don't know that every player says that. I think some players, if all things being equal, that's a tough spot for him, but not for Frankie. I mean, he welcomes it whether he gets the job done or not. He loves going up in that spot.
And I think it's fascinating too, Rosie, because even if you look at yesterday's game, he knocked in those three runs, but to stick with the clutch theme here, while he didn't have the game-winning hit, what he did in that ninth inning yesterday was just as important as Michael Brantley delivering that game-winning hit. You know, with Greg Allen getting on, then stealing second, you know, a very productive out from Frankie Lindor puts Allen on third base, and all of a sudden that really puts the pressure on Minnesota. And I think there's something to be said for that, because even when he's not getting the big hit, he's doing something to set someone else up and really make that moment count.
And isn't that the key to a good team? Because to some extent you have to be a little bit unselfish and kind of settle for moving a runner along. It doesn't look, it's not going to help his stats, but it's going to help the win column for the Indians, and it did yesterday. And he kind of addressed that early, just talking about the large lead in the division and what do you play for at this point? What are you trying to do? And he said, look, we need to make sure that we're playing with a real good focus and doing some of the things that we'll need to do come October. And you can't just turn that on. They have to play like it's the postseason now. And maybe because of the standings, you have to trick yourself into doing that. But whatever it takes, they're trying to do it. And I think that ninth inning, to me, I'm bold that the ninth inning yesterday may have been more impressive than the ninth inning the night before because of the way they did it, with that unselfish play by Lindor and just, a guy getting on, stealing a base, and then one of your better hitters knocking him in with the winning run, just a little dribbler through the right side, and that's all it took. And that may come into play in the postseason. A lot of times it does, especially against really good pitching, both starting and relieving. You have to kind of manufacture runs, so to speak, instead of just relying on the home run.
Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Rosie's weekly appearances here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, speaking of that ninth inning last night, boy, Andrew Miller really kind of seemed as though he was able to return to the fire of old. And I know at the end of the game, you were able to catch up with him. There was a little something extra on that fastball from Andrew Miller. And I know Hammy had mentioned it on the broadcast yesterday that he threw one up there at 94 miles an hour, and that was as fast as that pitch had been since he had returned from the disabled list about a week or so ago. Well, what were some of the things you saw from Miller that were different than his other appearances since being activated?
I couldn't really tell, but I asked him after the game, and he just said he's getting closer and closer to his delivery, and also just his arm building up. I mean, he hadn't really, been able to throw a whole lot during that period where he was building up his knee and trying to get his knee in a good spot to allow him to execute his delivery. And so I think it's just the continuation of getting appearances, being able to get out there and throw. And the other thing too, Bull, he pitched in the ninth inning of a tie game. Instead of what they did when he first came back, they just wanted to make sure he got his work in. So he was coming in regardless of the situation, and it was earlier in the game, and it wasn't necessarily a key spot, so to speak. But yesterday, tie game, ninth inning, that's as good as it gets. And he said, yeah, that gets you a little pumped up too. So I think a couple of factors, just his delivery getting back to where he'd like it, and a key spot in the game and kind of back to what he's used to, and all of that added together produced what would really look like a good outing for him.
Interesting that you say that, Rosie, because I could sense when you were interviewing him after the game that he kind of perked up a little bit when you asked him that question about coming in a tie game, a bit more of a high-pressure situation. But I think if you look at the way they have developed him, bringing him back from that injury, what they always continue to say is he's trying to make sure his lower half's okay and that when the game is over, he feels okay. Did you get the impression that he kind of felt okay and he's gaining more confidence, not having to necessarily worry about what his knee or his hamstring feels like after every one of these outings?
I did. And you know what, Bull, here's a kind of a crazy way to look at it. But a lot of times a pitcher, you know, in his spot, if he was still hurting and the knee was still an issue, I think he would have pitched his ninth inning and gone upstairs and right to the trainer's room to get treatment and get that where it needed to be. But he stayed in the dugout for the bottom of the ninth and was in no rush to get upstairs and get to the training room. He did some stuff after I talked to him, media responsibility-wise. So I think that's a really good sign. I mean, it's maybe reading into it too much, but he wasn't in any rush to just get back upstairs and get that treatment if he needed it. I mean, I'm sure he has some maintenance stuff that he's trying to do, but he just... it looked like he just kind of was enjoying the day and had fun. He was back out there doing what he does, and that was good news.
No question about that, and I think if he can return to form, boy, what a bullpen this is going to be. And, you know, if you look at the numbers since they made that trade, this bullpen has been sensational, and it's been a lot of fun to watch over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Rosie, I want to get to Corey Kluber for just a second here, too, because if you take one inning out of the equation yesterday, Kluber was outstanding. And if you go back to last Saturday, there was nothing not to like about that outing. It was a lightning-quick game. He threw 98 pitches in a shutout victory over the LA Angels. Boy, Rosie, it sure looks like Corey Kluber is becoming the pitcher that won a Cy Young Award last year. He's looked really, really good his last couple times out.
He has, and you know, you look at his line from yesterday, and he allowed the 4 runs, but he had some really good stretches too. So I think he's on a good path, and he's getting there. The fact that he was able to stay out there up well over 100 pitches yesterday, some of that might have been him requesting to stay out, I'm guessing, or at least checking in to see, hey, how you doing? You want to keep going? And he was fine. So I think that's a really good sign. And he's getting there. And he even said after the Angels game that he wasn't quite back to where he needs to be, but it was encouraging because he's getting closer every time out. So that's always good news to be sure when it comes to Corey Kluber.
Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this. I wanted to bring this up last week. I don't think we had the opportunity to get to this, but what Jose Ramirez is doing this year is most definitely historic. He's on pace to do something that hasn't been done in about a century. He's very close to the league lead in home runs. He's also near the top of the league lead in stolen bases. And you're talking about guys that haven't led the league in both of those categories, like I said, in close to a century. We're talking about guys like Ty Cobb, iconic figures in this game. I mean, has it set in with a lot of folks around there about just how great these numbers are and what an incredible season he's having? It almost seems like, to a certain degree, because there are so many other guys that are playing so well, I don't want to say it gets lost or that it gets hidden, but maybe it's not being pumped up as much as we might expect.
Well, I think when you mentioned Ty Cobb, that's where it kind of hits home, because you're looking at one of the greats of the game ever, and he has a chance to do something there that Cobb did. So I don't know. I mean, I think certainly people around here appreciate him and around the team and see what he's doing and where they. I think the perspective of where he's come from is what makes them appreciate it so much. He was not a power hitter coming up. He was more of a contact hitter. And, you know, I think if you had asked anyone in the minor leagues, would he hit 300, they might say yes. Would he hit 30 home runs, they would have said no. And I think that's fair. So, you know, he's kind of developed that. Ty Van Berkleo, the hitting coach, says he's made, you know, since he's been in the major leagues, fundamental adjustments that have allowed him to hit with more power. So, yes, people, I think, appreciate what he's done around here, especially in the context where he's come from to get there, and it definitely does not go unnoticed.
Yeah, and it really is something special. Like you said, Rosie, when you mentioned the likes of Ty Cobb, and he's doing something right along those same lines, boy, he's doing something very, very special. Rosie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us, and have some fun this weekend in the Windy City.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rosie's appearances are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center. We'll step aside quickly and take a break. Matt Douglas and I will return after this on AM 930 WEOL.